Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
The Crude Reality.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The price of crude oil is approaching $88 the barrel this morning. These are record high levels. Several factors are at work. The first is concern Turkey may attack Kurdish militants in Iraq. Let's bring in Javier Blas of the Financial Times in London. Javier, what are you hearing this morning?
Something that oil traders are telling me is when you have a military operation on the Middle East, you know how the operation starts, but you never know how it's going to end.
How much of this rise in oil is due to weakness in the dollar because crude oil futures are traded in U.S. dollars?
Of course, OPEC countries has an incentive, an extra incentive to keep oil prices higher when they suffer for a weak dollar. For most of the Gulf-producing countries, the European Union is now the main trading partner. So they have revenues on a weakening U.S. dollar, and at the same time, their expenses are, or their imports are, in a currency that is stronger by the days.
Is there a price at which the OPEC ministers would become concerned, a price that would be too high that would begin to negatively impact demand?
I think that some of the oil ministers are already concerned about the current levels triggering inflation at a moment where the U.S. Federal Reserve probably will need to cut interest rates to prop up the U.S. economy.
Javier Blas covers commodities for the Financial Times in London. Javier, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
The stock market was depressed yesterday by concern about earnings. The major indexes lost about 1% apiece. The Dow down 108, the S&P lower by 13, the Nasdaq was off 25 points. Overnight in Asia, the markets moved lower. The Nikkei fell more than 1% after Japan's Nomura Securities warned of its first loss ever. Investment in bad mortgages here in the U.S. getting the blame. The European markets moving lower at this hour. The mobile phone equipment maker Ericsson reported shockingly weak sales and earnings. Shares in Ericsson are down by more than 25%. We have more on that story from Kyle James.
Analysts were surprised at the announcement, and investors dumped Ericsson shares fast. The sell-off affected other European telecoms companies like Nokia and Alcatel-Lucent, whose share prices also suffered. Ericsson was hit by shortfalls in sales on mobile network upgrades and expansions, especially in Asia. Stockholm-based analyst Gregor Johansson says the problem is profit margins. They're under pressure due to intense competition among mobile phone companies.
Basically, the industry in general is doing all right. I mean, I think Ericsson, for example, took market share in Q3. So, I mean, it's not about the market in sales. It's more about the price pressure and what kind of margins you get on the things that you sell.
He says Ericsson's problems will likely extend into 2008. But he says consolidation in the sector will likely lead to a more stable market in a couple of years. In Berlin, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
Ericsson is not the only company to rattle investors. Yesterday, Citigroup reported its biggest earnings decline in 3 years and mistakes costing the bank $3 billion. Chris Farrell reports.
The numbers are stunning. Citigroup said its third quarter profits plunged by 57%. More bad news is on the way with Merrill Lynch, UBS, and Washington Mutual warning investors to expect losses totaling a combined $10 billion or so. Now, the expected earnings bath was being blamed on subprime mortgages gone bust.
The incentive is to say, let's get as much bad news out as we can, let's take our hit, and then move on from there.
Ross Levin is president of Accredited Investors in Edina, Minnesota. Indeed, Citi had forewarned investors last week to expect bad news.
We're saying we're going to have one terrible quarter, and from there, from that very bottom, we're going to be able to work our way out. And as a result, remember, the market doesn't react to events, it predicts events. And so what the market is going to do is say, okay, well, you've written off all this bad stuff, so now the future is rosy.
But investors aren't buying the kitchen sink approach to corporate earnings. Not now. Frank Braden is an equity analyst at Standard & Poor's.
On the conference call today, what you saw is it just looks like coming out of this trough is going to take longer than many people expected.
If it wasn't clear before, it is now. There's a lot more going wrong at Citi than subprime mortgages and leveraged trading losses. Its investment banking business is lagging. More important, its bread-and-butter consumer banking business isn't doing well. Credit crunch or no credit crunch, profits are down sharply at its basic consumer business of home equity loans, mortgages, and credit cards. Frank Braden believes Citi isn't unique.
But it's still going to be a rough fourth quarter. Things aren't going to snap back right away.
The twin pincers of tighter lending standards and a housing slump suggest earnings will be squeezed by more cautious borrowers and lenders alike in coming months. For Marketplace Morning Report, I'm Chris Farrell.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series exploring diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of heart disease through science and technology, premiering on PBS in October. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The sights of New York City never fail to amaze, as they say, only in New York. Yesterday, a new scene to behold, a high-powered magazine editor posing in a store window. As Jill Barchet reports, it's a sign of things to come.
The editor of Home and Garden magazine is used to putting fancy sofas on display, but today she'll be the display, posing inside the window of a Crate and Barrel store in Midtown Manhattan. Lori Rosen runs a public relations firm for the magazine industry. She says the glamorous Dominique Browning is the last person you'd expect to see in a chain store. Rosen says the stunt is driven by bad times in the glossy magazine business.
Expect to see many more innovative promotions and stunts like this. Everybody is vying for eyeballs. Everyone is vying for attention in this time-challenged marketplace.
She says publishers are losing advertising revenues. Advertisers want more for their money. Home and Garden is cultivating some Hollywood talent to help grow its audience, too. It put a celebrity, Gwyneth Paltrow, on its November cover. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet from Marketplace.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.